Daled, about a little more than 10 lines before the Mishnah, in which the Gemara returns to a certain degree to the topic of the Mishnah after we took a bit of an aside. Thank you so much. After we took a bit of an aside in terms of the world of Gimel Noshim Mishamshos B'moch. And the Gemara returns to the world of Erusin, which was the topic of the Mishnah, but moves the Erusin from pre-Ones Umafata to post-Ones Umafata. Namely, what happens if between the Maisa Ones Umafitui, between that and Amada Bedin, the woman becomes Mu'uresed. Boy mine Rava me Abaye, Bo Leha Benis Arsa Mahu. And the question, of course, is who gets the knas? Does, in this situation, the father get the knas? Because she's still a Nara. Or do we say no, that the moment that we have a situation with Nisarsa, maybe the Nara gets the knas? And the question is, well, what exactly is going on over here? Namely, we know that that a woman can become independent and get her own knas under three conditions. Classically, if the father dies after the maisa, before the hamada bedin, or if she becomes a bogeret during that interim between the maisa and the hamada bedin, or if she becomes a nesua. All those three take the woman out of the rishus ha'av. The death of the father, even if she's still a nara, but there's no longer a rishus ha'av. She becomes a bogeret. So that which the father had over her, that he was zakai, he was eligible to get all of her monetary income, that falls off the moment that she becomes a bogeret. That's a din of binureha beisaviyah, shevach ne'urim. And similarly, if she gets married, now she moves into her husband's rishus. She leaves her father's rishus. So those three move the knas to her. Why in the world would you think that Erusin would move the knas? After all, she's still a nara. So she's a nara, mu'ureset. But so, of course, so if she has income, that still goes to the father. Even the money of the Erusin, the money of Harayat Mekudeshetli, goes to the father. Why would we think that the knas would go to her? You know, what's the context over here of this Gemara? Why would we think the knas would go to her? After all, Erusin isn't Nisuin. Erusin, she's still living in her father's home. She's technically married. She has a, you know, that she's an Eishes Ish, technically, but the bottom line is that she still relates to her father. Why would we think that what's the question that over here that Rav is asking Abaye?
We see that Erusin affects whether she gets the Knas.
Ah, right. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with a situation of Erusin before the Maiseh. Now, if she's still Mu'uresed, we pointed out she's an Eishes Ish. That's Skila. That's not, you know, it's, but what if Nisarsa v'Nisgarsha? Namely, that she had once been Mu'uresed, so we have a Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that the Knas goes to her. So the Gemara thought, maybe, really, even in the case of Erusin, post the Masa, maybe the Knas goes to her. Namely, that even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, in terms of her income, that still goes to the father, but we have a crack in the wall. We have over here, in terms of knas, if she's mu'ureset before the maisa, then the knas, according to Rabbi Akiva, goes to her. And so the hava amina is, maybe this is something unique, that in the world of knas, it always goes to her, that Erusin is always motzi in terms of knas. That's the question of Rava tu Abaye. Bo'alim and Esarsa mahu. Do we say that this is like a classic situation where she's still a Na'ara, and even though there's Erusin, she's still Berushus Aviyah? Or since we find this exception in our Mishnah, maybe this exception can be expanded. Amar Lei, Miksi V'Nosan La'aviha Na'ara Asher Lo Orasa. If you recall, what brought about Rabbi Akiva's Shita? Why in the world did the Knas go to her? Because we have a Pasuk that when a person finds a na'ara besula asher lo orasa and is shochev ima, then the father gets the knas. However, asher lo orasa, if orasa, Rabbi Akiva understands, she gets the knas. So the Gemara says, but just a minute, that's all pre-shchiva. That's before the maisa biya. But the Torah then continues in the next pasuk and points out, "V'nasan ra'aviha na'ara chamishim kesef." It doesn't say in terms of the hamada bedin asher lo orasa that the uniqueness of erusin doesn't make its way into the hamada bedin. The uniqueness of erusin is if we're dealing pre bia, not post bia. Sigmara says so. Therefore, certainly the money goes to the father because asher lo orasa is not a condition in terms of hamada bedin. Sigmara asks l'tamech hadatanya ba'aleha. V'niseis la'atzma miksiv v'nosa la'aviha nara asher lo nisua. I understand, do we need a separate gzeres hakosav for each exceptional case? So if everyone agrees that if she gets married before ha'amad b'din, she gets the money. But it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Torah simply says v'nosa la'aviha nara. It doesn't say asher lo nisua. So if we're going to be medayik in the language of the Torah, then we don't find... We find that there are cases where the money goes to her, but we don't have a diuk in the parasha. So Gemara says, "Hachi hasha." Just a minute. How can you compare nisuin to erusin? Hasam in the world of nisuin, hoil ubagrus motzia mirishus haav v'nisuin motzia mirishus haav. That we have these two categories, b'chol haTorah kula, where the father no longer has control over his daughter's finances. When she moves from Na'ara to Bogeret, and when she moves from a Na'ara Penuya to a Na'ara Nesua. In each of those situations, B'chol haTorah kula, then the father no longer has any connection to her income. So therefore, Ma Bagrut Ba'aleha Ubagra La'atzma. So in the world of Bagrut, we have a diyuk, V'nosan Raviha Na'ara, V'lo Raviha Bogeret. So we know that the money goes to her. Af nisuin, which is parallel to bogeret, that b'chol haTorah kula she's independent, bo'aleha v'nises, then the knas goes la'atzma. Ela erusin, mikom afke mirishusa da'av legamri, but erusin is not in the same category as bagrus or nisuin. Bagrus and nisuin take her totally out of the rishusa av, in terms of everything. But erusin, hotanan, Nara hamurasa avihu bal mefimla nadareha. The father's still in the picture. And just we add in her husband, but the father's still in the picture in terms of Nara hamurasa. The only uniqueness of erusin is a din before the maisabia. There we had a drasha that Rabbi Akiva was doresh, that if she's mu'ureset and is garsha, and then someone is one sermafate, then the money goes to her. But it's not a rule, b'chol haTorah kula. She's still basically in the rishus of her father, and we have no gzeres hakosav to extend that exception, and therefore we've answered the question. The question is, it does not remain like with a teku, like the previous question, but the answer is that if we have the case of Ba'alav and Isarsa, the money goes to the father. That's the whole sugya, okay? Here we have three Tosfos, each of which brings up a nakuda that will stand. The first Tosfos points out, Bo'alav Nesarsa Mahu, according to whom is this question asked? Namely, we had three Shitos, as was pointed out. The whole question comes from our Sugya on Daf Lamed Chesem et Aleph, that we find that Erusin pre-Maisabia serves as an exception. So maybe Erusin post-Maisabia would also be an exception. According to which of the three Shitos do we have the question? So Tosa says, L'Rabbi Akiva demas nisin komi boile. That if you recall our three Shitos, we had the case of Nisarsa, Vinitgarsha, Uba'ala. Right, that she has a history of once being a mu'uresser. So we had in the Mishnah Rav Yossi Haglili that in this situation we have a p'tur miknas. According to Rabbi Akiva, in this situation kenasa la'atzma, and according to Rabbi Akiva, this is the Akiva of the Mishnah, and according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, so we say kenasa le'aviya. Okay, so Tosas asks, now we have a question, what about Ba'aleha first comes the Maisa Diya, and then Vinit Arsa. Namely, she's still a Na'ara. She's still a Na'ara, but she becomes an Arusa while she is a Na'ara. Does that change the question? Does this go to the father, or does it go La'atma? That's the question that Rava asked Abaye. So Tosis is asking, this is a question of the Amoraim. We have over here a Machlokes Tanoim. According to which Tana are we asking this question? So let's just talk out Tosis outside. According to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, is there any question? Does the question get off the ground? No, why not? Because Nisarsa is not unique. Even if she was not Nisarsa but Nisgarsha, the Knas goes to her father. The Knas remains by her father. According to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, there is no uniqueness to Nisarsa. In fact, the Torah says, Asher lo arasa, that's for Gzeira Shava, to learn Chamishim Kesef, has nothing to do with the situation of Erusin per se. So if Nisarsa pre-Bia is irrelevant, so Nisarsa post-Bia is irrelevant. We know that an Arusa is still Binu Reha Beis Aviha, she's in her father's house. So certainly the money would go to Aviha, according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. We'd have no question the money goes to Aviha. Similarly, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, do we have over here a question? Why not? He has Gzeiras HaKasuv, that the Torah tells us that that this girl doesn't get a knas at all. In this situation, there is no knas. The Torah says, V'matza na'ara besula asher lo orasa, then v'nasan la'aviha na'ara chamishim kesef. But in the case where arasa, that's Gzeiras HaKasuv. It's Gzeiras HaKasuv that when the erusin precedes the via, there's no knas. It has nothing at all to do with ba'aleha when she's a classic na'ara, and afterwards she becomes an arusa. That's the question. Our question is, Birshus Bihi. And whose Rishus is she in? Rabbi Yossi Aglili never took her out of the father's Rishus. He simply said, we have a Gzeiras HaKasuv, that there's no Knas, but she remains in the father's Rishus, according to the Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, and according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, here we say that, no, we had a Svara, that maybe the Erusin takes her out of the father's Rishus. So maybe not only an Erusin pre-Bia takes her out of the father's Rishus, maybe an Erusin post-Bia also takes her out of the father's Rishus. And this would be a Chiddush, that even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, Erusin is still in the father's Rishus, since we have this crack that the Erusin pre-Bia takes her out, maybe also the Erusin post-Bia. And that the Gemara says nothing doing. The Torah doesn't use the phrase Asher lo orasa post-Bia, it uses it pre-Bia. Bagrus takes her out of the father's Rishus. Nisuin takes her out of the father's Rishus. Not Erusin, but that's already the question of the Gemara. That's what Tosfos points out. Tweet it inside. L'Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin kami boy leido amar nisarsim nisgarsha knasa la'atzma. De mi amrinan kevan shiyotzim Rishus ha'avrinyan knas before the Bia. Ye knasa la'atzma even post-Bia. O dilma kevan drinyan shar mile. In general, b'chol ha'Torah kula, lo nafka merishus ha'av, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that Erusin doesn't take her out of Rishus ha'av in terms of Kesef Kedushin, in terms of Maaseh Yadayim, then maybe Yehei Knasa La'aviha. Avo Rabbi Akiva debraisa pshita de Knasa La'aviha. There's no question. And as Raphael pointed out, lo Rav Yosef li nehi do amar ein la knas, nami lo mi boile. Do ha ein la knas, lavni shun de mapik merishus ha'av. There wasn't a svara in Rav Yossi Aglili, El Gzeiras HaKasuv Hudein LaKnas. However, Lo Nafka Be'erusin Klal Merishus Aviha. Here, in post-Bia, we don't have Gzeiras HaKasuv. We're looking for a Svara. And the Svara only exists according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, not according to Rav Yossi Aglili, because she's totally Merishus Aviha, Zakai B'Kidusheha, U'Ma'aseh Yodeha, Afagav Dinis Arsa. Why doesn't the Gemara say something? Why do we need a Tosfos? Why shouldn't the Gemara say, Boi Rava Me Abaye, Rabbi Akiva, the Masnisin, Bo Leha Vinis Arsa, Mahu? Why does, in other words, why does what the Gemara say this black on white, that's only according to one out of the three Tanoim? So the Tosfos points out, v'hodaka bo'ilei stam, v'lo kamar Rabbi Akiva v'hedya, mahu, that the Gemara didn't ask the question specifically, Rabbi Akiva, mishum d'halach, Rabbi Akiva mechavera. Because we pass him like Rabbi Akiva, this is the Psak HaBalcha. So the Gemara is asking according to the bottom line. According to our, once we have these three shittos and we pass like this one, then the question is mahu. Had the Gemara asked a question according to Das Yachid, clearly the Gemara would have pointed that out. But since the Gemara is asking according to the bottom line, there's no need to point it out. Okay, that's a pretty open and shut Tosfos, yes? What? Tosfos has to say just that we shouldn't think that the, in other words, lahotzi mi liba nishal stukin, we shouldn't think that the question over here is aliba de kulayama. He just goes in and points out that we've already had a filter. We've already filtered it through, but the Gemara would figure out that we would figure this out on our own. Okay. Hoil v'nisuin motziin mirishus av. Here, we are looking for sources. Namely, that we have two situations. Move over to here. We have two situations where, b'chol ha-Torah kula, a woman is no longer under her father's her father's ownership in terms of dine mamonos, a bogeres and a nesua who is still a nara. In both of these cases, the income of the woman no longer goes to her father. Rashi points out what is the source of each of these principles. So Rashi says, "Bagrus motzia mirishus av," right? About 10 lines, more than that, 15 lines from the bottom of the Rashi before the Mishnah. "Bagrus motzia mirishus av," d'lo motzinu shezichsa la Torah bebito, ella mecher bekatnus ushar shevach kigon knasa maase yodeha benarus v'chulei. What is Tosa saying about the default position? Default position, should a father be the receiver of an individual's income if that individual is already a gadol? Or should that person be independent? What's the default position of the Torah?
Independent,
100%. Namely, that we have a concept of a katan. A katan, in other words, a girl until the age of 12 and a boy until the age of 13, they don't have das, so the father is their legal guardian. He is in charge of all of their rechush. They are basically part of his, they're under his wings. But the moment they become gedolim, moment that they come into an age of das, the same way they're responsible to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they should be responsible for their own financial situation. And if they have income, it should be theirs. But we have a gzeras hakasuv. What is a gzeras hakasuv? And really, by a boy, the moment he becomes 13, he's a gadol. If he goes ahead and opens a high-tech company at the age of 13, so he opens his own bank account. That's his money. However, by a girl, we have a unique gzeras hakasuv. That what? For 6 months, it still goes to the father, right? Even though she's a gedola, she's a nara. Even though she's a gedola, where she's chayevet in mitzvah, she has to fast on Yom Kippur, and she has to do eat matzah and lel haseder, v'chule, but her income goes to her father for 6 months. That's a gzeras hakasuv, binureha beisaviyah. The moment those 6 months finish, so the fact that now the girl is independent, we don't need gzeras hakasuv. That's the default position by every gadol. When she's 12 and a half, she's like a man who's 13. The narus is finished. So the din that a bogeret is independent is a svara. It's a svara. She is a gadola. The uniqueness is the 6 months. Once the 6 months are over, we return to normalcy. We return to logic. And logic tells us that a gadol, even if they're unmarried, even if they're living in their parents' home, if a 14-year-old boy is living in his parents' home, his income is his. So a 12-and-a-half-year-old girl living in her parents' home, the income is hers. Yes? Okay, so that's a svara. But how do we know in terms of a na'ara, she's still in that period of 6 months, she's 12 years and 3 months old, and she gets married, how do we know that her income doesn't go to her father? She's still in that period of time. So Rashi says, V'nisuin motziin mershusa, k'de'eshkechon b'hafaras nedarim, de'kolz man sheronise avia mefer, meshanise en yachal lahafer. That the makar of bagrut is a svara yeshara, and the makar of nesua, even though she's still in ara, is hafaras nedarim. That the Torah in the Rome of hafaras nedarim says that until marriage, basically the father is in charge of her nedarim when she's a na'ara. However, she gets married when she's a na'ara, the father's out of the picture totally. She's totally in the reshus of her husband, hu yeferena, v'hu yekimena, that she's v'beis isha. Okay? What over here is unusual? What over here is unusual? Namely, is Rashi, you know, Rashi says that the source that a girl is independent monetarily once she is married is because she no longer is connected to her father in terms of hafaras nedarim. Is that a meaningful equation? Is that a meaningful equation? That since her father no longer is matir her neder, therefore her father never doesn't get her money. Are those apples and apples or apples and oranges? Those are apples and oranges. Those are mamona and isura. The world of hafaras nedarim is a world of yoredeya. The world of Maaseh Yadeya is a world of Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat and Yoredeya don't have to have the same criteria. That we mapit'om, that we should, we have different realms. In other words, it's like in the world of Tumah V'Tahara and the world of Bria in terms of Yoredeya. Who says that these have the same criteria? It could be that steam would fill the house from a mikvah, make the whole house tameh. But who says that steam is also going to be ma'avir tam in the world of Yoredeya? Tumah v'tahara levad lo yalfinu nisura mi tumah. In other words, that these are different realms. So who had been over here? This is isur v'heter, hafaras nedarim. And we're talking about, our issue is mamonos. Who's in charge of the money? So the fact that the bogeret's in charge of her own money, that's a svar yeshara. That a nesua should be in charge of her own money when she's still a na'ara, we say, since her father is no longer responsible for her nedarim, therefore the money doesn't go to him. That the Gemara, Tosfos points out, look for a minute on Daf Mem Amud Beis. If you look for a minute on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara over there quotes Ain Memra of Rav Huna B'Shem Rav. Do you have it where it's in the margin? It depends on your Gemara, but some Gemaras have Bamidbar Lamed in the Torah Or, and one line below that. If you have on the side, in the Masechta Shas on the side, it says Lekamon Memvav Medbeis Memzayin Amid Aleph Kedushin Gimel Medbeis. In any case, it's right underneath the little pasuk Benureha Beisavia. So we find how do you know b'chlal that the income of a daughter goes to her father? The Gemara learns it out from a hekesh between a daughter and a shivcha. An Amma Ivriya, that just as an Amma Ivriya owes her income to her master, so also a daughter owes her income to her father. So Gemara asks, Lamali, why does the Gemara have to come on to such a hekesh? Tepuk lebinu reha beis aviha. We have a pasuk that when she's a na'ara, she's under her father's control. Isn't that pasuk enough? So Gemara says, no. Elahiba for us the darmu t'chsiv. The pasuk binurei beis aviyah, that's in the parasha of Hafaras Nedarim. You can't learn out money from there. V'chitei manelef minein. If you say, well, why not? It's the same father, the same daughter. Mamona me'isura lo yalfinon. So the Gemara takes for granted you can't learn out mamon from isur. That's what Tosus is bothered by in our sugya. Let's come back to our Tosus. Pirish bekuntrus yalfinon me'afaras nedarim. We learn out ma'ase yadayim from afaras nedarim. Va'af agav dekaimela mamona me'isura lo yalfinon. What do we do with the Gemara on daf mem on the days that we just saw? Hanimilei l'ukma birishus av. Hu delo yalfinon mamona me'isura. Avola fuka birishus av yalfinon shapir me'afaras nedarim. It depends in which direction we want to go. In order to make the father more responsible, in order to put the daughter under the aegis of the father, there we say, the fact that the father is in charge of her nedarim doesn't mean he's in charge of her income. But in order to take her out of the ownership of the father, there it's enough to say, since in Hafaras Nedarim she's no longer under her father's control, so also in Mamonos. What's the difference between these two? Why do we say there's a difference between putting her into her father's rishus or taking her out of her father's rishus? To put her into her father's rishus, the fact that she's in his rishus in one area of Isur is not enough to put her into the rishus in another area of Mamon. But we say once she leaves her father's rishus in terms of Nedarim, then she's certainly out in terms of Mamon. Why do we have a lack of consistency over here? No, what did we just say a minute ago? What's our default position? That she's independent. To put her under the father's control, that's a chiddush. So there we have to have a real limud. Right? There, mamona mi'isura lo yalfinon. The fact that she's under her father's control in terms of nadarim, we're not all of a sudden going to put her under her father's control in terms of her money. Because that's a chiddush that she's under her father's control. She's a gedola. But once we see that even in the realm of Isur, she's out of her father's control, so Baruch Hashem, in the realm of Mammon, she's also out of her father's control. Namely, that he, in terms of taking her out, we're returning to a default position, Bisfar Mu'etas, Yesha Hotziya Mirshut Ha'av. To take her out, mean to return to normalcy, we just need a hint. We just need a Sfara Mu'etet. To bring her in, there we need a real limud, and we can't learn out, really, we can't learn out money from Isur. That's the first teretz of Tosfos. V'ri b'Rav Avraham, the Riva, Pirish, he has a different understanding to answer the question, how can we learn out Mamon from Isur? The Kevan de Golilon Kra de Ukma b'Rishu Sa'av, once the Torah already put her, in other words, compared Mamon to Isur in terms of entering, once the Torah said that once she's a Nara, she remains in her father's Rishus in terms of Isur, and she also remains in her father's Rishus in terms of Mamon, because of the comparison of Bita La'ama, the Hekesh that we just saw, Kevan de Golilan Kura, the Ukma Rishus Av, then Isura V'Mamona Shavin. Hu hadin la'afuka, namely in achinami. If we're dealing with a tabula rasa, we're dealing with a whole new area, and we want to know what is the halacha, we're not going to learn out mamon from Isur. But once we're already dealing with an area where mamon and Isur go hand in hand, so then, to take her out of that area, mamon and Isur will go hand in hand. Namely, that once already we find that the woman, when she is an arusa, when she is a Na'ara, that she's under her father's Rishus in terms of Nedarim, and she's under her father's Rishus in terms of Mamonos, once we already know that from the two Drashos on Daf Mem Amud Beis, then to take her out, it's enough. If one of the two fall away, the other will fall away as well. Namely that we don't assume that there's an identity, but once already we know there's an identity from one Sugya, then we can learn out the identity across the board. Okay. Namely, that according to the Riva, we need a real drasha, and we have a real drasha. According to the first teretz of Tosfos, we don't need a real drasha to return her to a default position. All of this is easy. The problem is over here, the next few lines of Tosfos, which is in the brackets. In the brackets, so it points out in the margin that this is from a Tosfos Yeshanim. The Tosfos Yeshanim quotes a different answer to our question. We wanted to know, how can you, in other words, what is the source that Nisuim take a woman out of the reshus of her husband, even if she's still in Na'ara? The source we had up to now was Hafaras Nedarim, but that's problematic because that's Isur, and we want to learn out the din of Mama. So Harima Faresh, he has another source. The Nisuin Motziin Mirishus Av Mida Darshina. He learned it out from Parshas HaShavua. Right. Parshas HaShavua, that was yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, from Parshas Kedoshim. The Torah in the second Pasuk points out, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u, right? V'yashav Sosai Tishmoru, Ani Hashem. So the Gemara asks, what is going on over here? We have within the Pasuk a plural, Tira'u, and yet we have a singular, Ish. Why does it say Ish and Tira'u? So the Gemara points out that by a man and a woman, they are both obligated to be machabed and to have yira from their parents. However, the moment they are married, here a difference comes in. Ish, sipek biyado, the married man still has his total independence and therefore he is still responsible to honor his parents. However, isha, the married woman, ain't sipek biyado la'asot. She is no longer on her own, and she is limited by the framework of marriage, and that is a patur from kibud avim when there is this contradiction between her current home and the kibud of her parents. That's a gemara. Okay, so the Ri says, we see from over here, that nisuin, that marriage, takes a woman away from her father. Just a minute. What is difficult in this equation over here? That since Nisuin takes a woman away from her father in terms of kibud av v'eim, therefore we say that Nisuin takes her out of the realm of her father in terms of monetary matters. Yes?
What do kibud av v'eim and mamonos do with each other?
Exactly. That's what Tosus asks. Lo nehira. Namely, if we view the institution of marriage, so the institution of marriage, there are a lot of connections between husband and wife on a doraisa level. Sher ksut ona, the husband is chayev to his wife mi doraisa. But the wife is not chayev to her husband, her income, on a doraisa plane. That's a takana midrabanan. That Rabbanan wanted to create a certain balance. And they said if the husband has to support his wife in terms of food, mezonot, so in lieu of that, if she makes income, that income will come to him. That there'll be a quid pro quo. There'll be a give and a take. That's a din drabana. But mida oraisa, if this woman is still a na'ara, who's to say that her income doesn't still go to her father? Even if she's already in the realm of Nisuin. So of course, she's still a Naira. Age-wise, she's still a Naira. Where do we see that she has lost her connection to her father? So you say, we have this drasha that she doesn't have to visit her father if it's inconvenient for her husband. That's a din, in Yoredeya. Va'em is in Yoredeya. We're talking about Choshen Mishpo. We want to know about money. Where do you see from the fact that she is no longer mechuyevet in kibud av v'eim that affects her income? Her income doesn't go to her husband midaraisa. That's a takana midrabana. Who's to say that her income stays by her? Maybe her income goes to her father. Yes.
Big Tosis in Kiddushin.
Yes.
Ask for this kasha, and he says even though really it doesn't belong to her husband midaraisa.
Right.
But nonetheless, she's not mitzuyeh etzel aviyah.
So Tosus points out in Kiddushin that a woman who's married has to live with her husband. So let's say her parents live in New York, and she gets married to someone in Yerushalayim. Okay, so she has to move to Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's not very likely that she's going to be able to help her parents with their shopping, namely the kibud avim, or to come to her parents for Pesach, etc. Namely, that she's in Yerushalayim, they're in New York. But what does that have to do with income? Our question over here is in terms of income. Maybe if she works in Yerushalayim, so she has to deposit the money in her parents' account. Tosis is explaining why technically marriage interferes with kibud av va'em on the part of the wife. That they're not necessarily in the same city, not necessarily in the same continent. So it's hard for her to do kibud av va'em. But our question is, what about money? Where do you see that the income of a daughter, once she's married, is no longer connected to her father from this din of kibud av va'em? That's what Tosfos over here is at. That's the lo nehira. Ma'ase yadayim eino labaal min ha'Torah. Yes?
Isn't the basic chiyum of kibud av va'em achilehu, mashkehu, and mabisho? Isn't there an investment of property that goes into being mekayim kibud av va'em?
Where kibud av va'em is only from the money of the parents. In other words, machilo means that you take the father's money, you buy food, and then you feed him. In other words, from a monetary perspective, there's the famous story of Reb Chaim, that a student once came to Reb Chaim and said that his father is coming to the train station, and to take a wagon to the train station cost money. And the money to be machabed av va'em is supposed to come from the father. And since the father didn't wire him in advance money, so is he mechuyev to go, l'chor, he's potter from going to the train station to meet his father. So Reb Chaim says, why? Walk. Namely, you don't have to put out your money, but you have to be mechayim kibud av va'em. Kibud av va'em is an investment of time. And so Tosfos points out, the Gemara points out, that a woman's time, once she is married, is no longer hers. That her time, you know, she's with her husband. So the moment she's with her husband, and it could be in a different city, she can't necessarily technically deal with her parents' needs. But it's not a monetary issue. So here I sent you to the Tosfos Harosh. Tosfos Harosh starts the same way as Tosfos. Hoel v'nisuim motzim rishus ha'av haino linyan haparos adarim. Which is the default position. A second answer, the answer in the Tosfos Yeshanim, ish imovi aviv tiro, kishomer tiro hare kan shdayim. Imkein ma tamod lomar ish, why single out a man as opposed to a woman if the woman is also chayevet? Ish sipek biyad olasos, and therefore the chiyev remains even post-marriage. Isha ein sipek biyad olasos, perush. What does this have to do with the price of tea in China? What does this have to do with the world of mamonos? So Tosfos explains, shetzricha la'avod es ba'ala. Alma de kishenisait ovedet leba'ala. Ve'ena yachoga la'asot od ma'ase yadeha le'aviha. That there is a very powerful monetary imprint or monetary implications even in the world of kibud av ve'en. That in order to have income, you have to be able to get out of the house and to work. And what is the status of a married woman, whether she is in Yerushalayim or in New York? The Isha Ovedet Leba'ala. What does Isha Ovedet Leba'ala mean? That if her husband has a shoe store, she has to be, in other words, a saleswoman in the shoe store? Is that what it means? What's Isha Ovedet Leba'ala? Here we have a Gemara Kedus Ksubas in front of us. Move to Daf Nun Tesamid Beis. Mishnah. You see the Mishnah in the Testament days? Ve'elu malachos sheha'isha osa Liba'ara. These are the areas of Ovedet Liba'ara. Tochenet, Ve'ofa, Umechabeset, Mivashelet, Minika'et Bina, Metzat Ro'at Amita. What's the common denominator? What would we call this in English? She's in charge of the household. She's in charge of the house. She's in charge of the cooking and the baking and the laundry and taking care of the children and nursing. This is Eilu Malacho She'isha Osa Leba'ala. What's the source of this? Is this a Takana Midrabanan? No. The Takana Midrabanan is if, in addition to all of this, she goes out of the house or she has a job on the internet, then the income comes to the husband. That's in addition to this. What is the source of this? This is what's called marriage. Namely, marriage classically, not marriage in the 21st century. This is the classic marriage. This is the Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. I may not be very politically correct, but this is the marriage that was between Abraham and Sarah, Lushi Vasi Ugot, right? This is the marriage that we have in Sefer Shoftim, in Sefer Malachim, time of the Rishonim. In other words, this was the marriage until relatively recently when it was decided that women should also be equal to men and they should split going out of the house and split what they do in the house. But classically, this was simply taken for granted as part of the institution of marriage. So if we'll ask if this is Doraisa or Drabanan, so this is what the Tosos HaRosh points out. This is Doraisa. Now, if a woman is taking care of the household of her husband, you realize that she has no time, classically, to go out and work. And therefore, her father is losing that income. Namely, the moment she's married, we don't say ma'ase yadeha le'aviha, because there's no ma'ase yadayim to be able to speak of that. That's what Tosa Rush points out. This is mamonos and mamonos. Ein sipek biyado la'asos perishet sricha la'avod es ba'ala. Again, la'avod es ba'ala doesn't mean to work out of the house and give the income to her husband. That's a recent invention, right, of the Israeli world of kololim or of the feminist world of going out to work. That's a recent invention. But classically, in being in charge of the household, that preempts the ability of her having classic income, and therefore she's ptura from kibud ava'im, not just on the level of not going to help out, you know, where it's with shopping or with feeding, etc., but in terms of ma'ase yadayim as well. That's the connection to our sugya. That's what Tosus points out. What is the source that nisuim takes her out of the father's reshus monetarily? Marriage. Nisuim. That per se. In other words, that the institution of marriage is such an institution. If you need, aside from the Mishnah, firstly, you just know this is known not as the classic shita of the Tosus HaRosh. This is known as the Shita of the Pnei Yehoshua. Okay? Pnei Yehoshua over here, it's a little two-liner, and the Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis points out that the source of our Mishnah is Mida Oraisa, that this is simply an institution of marriage. Pnei Yehoshua says that it's a Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. That's how the Gemara interprets the phrase E'eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Ashkeche Rav Yosi le'Eliyahu Ksiv Eselo Ezer B'ma Isha Ozrasa la'adam. Okay, Rav Yosi decided to ask Eliyahu HaNavi, in what way is my wife making my life easier? Right? How is she helping me? Once I get married, I have more responsibilities. I have to clothe her and I have to worry for her, etc. How is she making my life easier? Amalei Adam mevichitin. You're a farmer. You bring in from your fields grain. Chitin koses. Are you going to eat the grain? Is that what you're eating? Pishtan. In other words, you bring in flax. Pishtan lovesh. In other words, are you wearing flax? No. She's taking the grain and she is grinding it and she is making bread. That's what you're eating. She's taking the flax and she is, what is the word? toferet, in other words, she's oreget, she's putting it together and she's making you clothing. Don't you find that that's an ezer, that you have a wife to deal with setting up your household and taking the raw materials and making them into clothing and into more tasty food? So this is, in other words, again, the framework that the Tosfos Rosh Lechora is working with. I asked Andrew to bring up a Torah Tmima because it's very interesting that on the Pasuk in Kedoshim Tihiyu, where we have Ish Imova Aviv Tira'u, the Baal HaTorah Tmima, who was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, he takes for granted the Shita of the Tosfos HaRosh, which is a very unique Shita. Not everyone holds that way. Tosfos himself certainly didn't think that way. So he writes, he writes, Ritzon Olomar, what does it mean that Ein Sipek Biyada Rishut Ba'ala She Mishubedet Lo? Namely, that we're talking over here in terms of the household obligations which take away her free time that would otherwise have allowed her. Ki azman shela meshubad lebaal lemelechas habayis vegidul habanim vechadome. Right, this is the language of the Tosfos HaRosh. What the Torah Tmima is Machadesh is back in Parshas V'hoya Ki Yeviyacha at the end of Parshas Bo. There we have the pasuk L'man Tiyeh Toras Hashem B'Ficha, that we have the Hekesh between Torah and Tfilin, that since women are patur from Talmud Torah, they're also patur from Tfilin. No, since they're patur from Tfilin, they're also patur from Talmud Torah. And they're patur also from all the mitzvos asei, shazman grama. So over there in Sifkata Membeis, the Torah Tmima points out, v'hatam shenoshim peturus mitzvos asei shazman grama. It's a drasha, right, that they're patur. But kasa betosas harid over there in kedushin uba kedushay haritva uba avudraham etc. Mishum shahanashim ein hazman maser biyadan ubirishusad ki meshudas meshubadosein lahabal imkeni yesher lachayim a mitzvah shazman grama ki ulay baosa shara pekudat baala aleha. Okay, namely to take the svara that the Tosfos HaRosh uses, why she is petura from kibud avim, and say that's why she's also petura from mitzvah asei shehazman grama. She's petura from kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the same reason that she doesn't have her own time. The Torah Tmima points out this is a svar ma'od mechudesh. It's certainly not pashut, because then it should turn out that an unmarried woman or a woman who's already an almana or a grusha should already be chayav in mitzvah asei shehazman grama. Namely, if the whole petura comes from being in charge of a household, then you have to come on to some sort of a lo plug, and where do we find such a lo plug, etc. But he points out that it's very interesting that we know that the dinim of an eved chape mitzvahs asei shazman grama are similar to those of an isha. Since an isha is p'tur from mitzvahs asei shazman grama, so also an eved. Again, there's a gzera shava, which is learned out. But he says, here really the svara is, you know, parallel. That clearly by an eved, his time is not his time. His time is owed to his master. So how can he be chayev in mitzvahs asei shazman grama? So he does find room for the svara in terms of the hekesh to the world of avadim, but it doesn't apply to the isha herself, because then it should be very, very limited to a married woman as opposed to an unmarried woman. Okay, in any case, all of this is, in other words, is working off of the understanding of the Tosas HaRosh in terms of the... In our sugya, to explain that the world of mamonos, hoel v'nisuin motziim rishus ha'av, that the essence of nisuim, which is that the woman's time is no longer her own, but she has responsibilities to the household, this not only is what takes her out of the realm of kibud av'aim, but it's also that which takes her out of the father's Rishut in terms of her income. Yes.
The Mishnah continues that if she's machneset avadim, then mm-hmm. she has to do less and less work, and maybe there's a sheet at the time that she doesn't have to do any work. So doesn't right. that mean that in the end it's not a total shiud on her time? She has a chiyuv to provide certain services to her husband, just like her husband has a chiyuv to provide her. But then I don't understand the drasha anymore, because just like the husband has shirks and nona, and once he's finished with those things, he can be mechabed his parents. So the woman also, as soon as she accomplished these chiyuvim, she should also be able to
mechaber her parents. You're 100% correct, except that the chiyuvim of sherek sut and ona can be somewhat compartmentalized. The chiyuv of ona is dafka at a time when people are sleeping. The chiyuv of sher and ksut are, you know, it's not necessarily time related. They, in other words, they're the in terms of the woman, it's much more, again, I'm not saying you have to agree with Tosas HaRosh. I'm saying the kanera l'shitato, that this is much more amorphous in terms of being a constant. And in Akinami, she doesn't have to necessarily do it on her own, but she has to see that it is done. So, you know, if it turns out, let's say that her parents want to come for Pesach, but she has to give Pesach time off to all of her shvachot, so she's now responsible to prepare the Seder for her husband and can't necessarily help prepare the Seder for her parents. Namely, that it is more something which is more all-encompassing than sherek sut and ona b'chlal. In other words, women know how to multitask, and so their Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them responsibilities that fit their personality. Men find it difficult to do more than one thing at a time, and so it gave them responsibilities that can deal with their personality. But again, this is simply a way of answering the question that the Tosas raises on the Re: what's the connection between the world of marriage and the world of Maaseh Yadayim? So the Lechora, it's only relevant to the world of Kibud Av V'Aim. Okay, the next Tosfos over here: Ma Bogeret Baleha Ubagra La'atzma. So Tosas was bothered that Zinus Bogeret has its own pasuk that a woman is independent, and Nesua has its own pasuk. Why does the Gemara have to link Nesua to Bogeret? Ma Bogeret Baaleha Ubagra La'atzma, that just as a Bogeret gets the knas because she's independent, so also a Nesua gets the knas because she's independent. Perish the Hamatzinu Bogeret Shiyosem Yishus Av Linyan Mamon. So also the Nesua. Bekasha, Hachanami Nesuin Motzim Rishus Av Linyan Mama. Each of them has an independent source. So why link them? Amai Tzarach L'melaf Mi Bogeret. The moment that she's independent, so Knas is simply part of her independence, that she gets her Knas. V'nired, the Bo'aleha Ubagra La'atzma Nafkala Mi V'nosan Lavi HaNa'ara. Darshinan Lavi HaNa'ara V'lo Lavi HaBogeret. The answer is that we know that Knas has its own unique Knechus, that its own unique chidushim. So we would have thought, okay, maybe even if the Nesu was a dependent b'chol ha'tara kula, who says that Knas also comes under this rubric? So since we find by Bogeret that we have a drasha within the world of Knas, avia nara v'lo avia Bogeret, so also anyone who is similar to Bogeret in terms of her status. The Bogeret is independent and gets her knas, so also the Nesua is independent and gets her knas. Okay. Adkan Hakafa Aleph. That's up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah moves over to back to the world of principles. Like the first Mishnah dealt with Egu Na'aros who get knas, Egu Na'aros who don't get knas. Now we have the difference between Mefata and Ones. We dealt with knas. The knas is parallel both in Mefata and in Ones. Not only parallel, but equal, same amount of money. But there's a difference in terms of the additions. Mefata nosen shlosha dvarim, v'ha ones arba'a. Hamefata nosen boshes upegam uknas, mosif alav ha ones shenosen esatzar. And then the Mishnah goes and explains what are the other differences, or what are all the differences between mefata and ones, the first being the one we just saw, Ma ben ones le mefata, ones nosen esatzar, hamefata en ones esatzar, and then moves over to other distinctions that we'll come to as we learn the Mishnah. But we'll deal over here with the addition of Bosh es Pagam and perhaps also Tsar in the case of Ones. Where do Bosh es Pagam come from? From what realm? Knas is sui generis. Knas is created in the realm of Ones Umefata. Where do Bosh es Pagam come from? From what realm? Nezikin that apply to a person's body we call what? Chovel. Right? Chovel, personal injury. What payments are normally paid in personal injury? Nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, boshes. So here, we have the knas, and then we're adding in nezek that we call pgam, and we're adding in also boshes. Right? But what is left out? So tsar we have. Okay, tsar we have by the ones. But ripui and sheves are missing. Okay. So one way of understanding is, maybe there is no ripui and sheves by the world of ones. Maybe there are no medical bills. Maybe there is no unemployment insurance. The woman would go to work immediately. Maybe it doesn't affect you. That's a possibility. However, if you look over here in the Shita Mekubetzes, one-liner, that I photostated for you on this brilliant yellow page. Masnisit. Hamafata nosen gimel dvarim. Tana minyana. Whenever you have a number in the Mishnah, it always comes limi'ute, to exclude something. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what this number comes to exclude. We can count. We know that when you add knas and pagam and boshes, it's three. Right? We don't need a Mishnah to say it's echad miyodeya. We don't need a Mishnah to tell us that three is three. So it comes along the Shita and suggests the Me'ute Shevet V'Ripui. It comes to exclude these two, even if they are on the table, theoretically, the Bo'el does not pay these two. The Af Al-Gav D'Cholsa Machmas Hasharas Besulim, even if, let's say, she does get ill, and because she's ill, she can't work, and because she's ill, she has to go to a doctor, Eino nosein ela shlosha dvarim elu. The mefata or the ones is patur. Velodamya lishar chavalot. Wow. Okay, so the question is, this is not clearly, there is no ripui and bosha and sheves on the table. We're saying even if it's on the table, there's no chiyuv for this individual who did this personal injury to pay for these two. Why not? Manishtana. This personal injury from all other personal injuries. No, you already have the answer in your notebooks or on your iPads or in your somewhere or in your minds. What's the obvious answer, Noach?
I'm still thinking.
Okay, Veseder. No, Andrew. We pointed out already a number of times that that this is not a classic Chabalah. A classic Chabalah is you break someone's arm. You break his nose. His arm was not meant to be broken, and his nose was not meant to be broken. But here, this woman exists in as part of her yi'ud, part of her goal in life, is to have children. And you can't have children without a ma'isa bia. And you can't have a ma'isa bia without hasharas habesulim, namely that this area that was closed was meant to be open. These capillaries were meant to, that are protecting a certain area of her bodies, were meant to be torn open with a maisa bia. The issue is that her privacy was violated, namely that she should be the one who decides whom she wants to be the individual who will enter her, and under what, at what time, under what circumstances. And here, someone took advantage of her and did this act that was sofo lehitkayem. It was meant to be. It's not like breaking an arm. It's not like breaking a nose. Namely, that every woman, hopefully, will be able to have a mate who will be able, with him, to be mekayem puru revu, etc. However, the fact that this person violated her privacy, so we have over here a knas, and we say that in this situation we have a unique boshet, and we have a unique pagah. Namely, the boshet, in other words, that this is totally unacceptable in society. If you recall Tamar, you know, where it's that she was not able to deal with the fact that Amnon had raped her and never left the house. She was not able to show herself in public. She was so terribly ashamed. And the pagam, that she's, this woman is no longer a besula. Her value to other individuals is already relatively shaken. And so we have a pagam and a boshet. However, in terms of ripui and shevet, even had she been married, she would have, under the same circumstances, required ripui and shevet. This is not something which is unique to the fact that her privacy was violated. This is simply the act itself, particularly if we're dealing with a mefuta. We have this sofo, you know, where it's etc. So we have over here the shita sort of introducing the framework of our Mishnah. Yes?
The shita that we saw before, like in the Kilsi Yaakov, we're explaining how this distinction changes the payment from a knas to a mamon. But that, why should that exclude? So, okay, so the boshet pagam will be mamon, and right, the ripui and the shevet will be a knas.
No, but we're saying the ripui and the shevet, here we're using the sofo as a reason to view this as not something that is unique to him. He is not doing this is not, the ripui and the shevet are her human condition. Her human condition is that no matter who is going to be intimate with her, she's going to require this ripui and shevet because of her own physiology, her strength, her weaknesses, etc. I'm raising this simply to introduce the next sugya, because the Gemara begins with two words, tsar demai. Where do we have tsar in the world of ones? Why should the rapist pay for pain? What do you mean pain? So a person says, and then the Gemara answers, oh, we have ancillary issues. We have incidental tsar, that in the course of the rape, this woman was pushed down, chavata, on a hard surface. Or that we have an issue of pisuk haraglai, and the Gemara moves over. The Tosas raises, I mean, what are you talking about? Tsar, it hurts a woman when a part of her physiology is torn. In other words, that when the besulim are torn, it hurts. That's the tsar that we're talking about. Look in Tosos, tsar demai. Kosha lari, maikami boile. V'chigo yoda hashas yesh tsar gadol lebesula bebia rishona. That there are many times that a woman will ask her husband, please, you know, it's like, you know, it hurts, you know, it's, let's try another time, etc. The vadad is tsar. Why is the Gemara searching for tsar? V'kama katanos cholos mize. And sometimes when you have a woman who is very, very sensitive or very young, it can bring about that she'll be ill afterwards for a period of time, that this was something that was traumatic to her. So what is the Gemara searching for ancillary, for incidental tsar, side tsar? Why don't we view the maisa bia itself as being an act that brings about tsar? So Tosis raises the issue that we just saw in the Shita. V'chi tema de oso tsar pshita le deshas de patur shahare sofo leitzta'er b'kach tachat ba'ala. Maybe the reason we're searching for the incidental tsar is because the real tsar of hasharas habesulim, of breaking the besulim, that is something which is sofer lava. Why blame that on this particular individual? The woman is going to have to go through the pain sometime in life, and so that's not something that should be paid for. You pay for damage. That is not damage. That's simply her existential situation. That's the nature of her physiology, whether it's by this person or by someone else. And it was parallel to the Shita's explaining why there is no Ripui and Sheves. Tosas over here raises this. Maybe this is the reason why the Gemara looks for a side tsar as opposed to the built-in tsar, because the built-in tsar is Asid Lavo Al Kol Panim. The Tosas says, no, we can't learn that way. Why? Va'ika kama tanoi bahakones de lo chaye shelechash gufna. Perish davar shesofo lihiyos kein. Because we have a machlokes tanoim as to whether this is really a factor. Do we take into account future loss and say that future loss should offset current loss? Let's see that Gemara he quotes in Baba Kama again on this bright yellow page. I'm sorry, it just drives me crazy. The third source is the source of the Gemara. The Gemara over there is talking about damage to a field. Someone has a field in which, let's say, he has grapevines, and your animal goes into the field and eats from the grapevines. So the question is, how do you measure the damage which is done? So the Gemara says that if the animal simply ate the flowers that were growing, even though those flowers are going to turn into grapes, they ate flowers. So what you have to measure is, how much is this grape field worth? How much is this vineyard worth? With those flowers that are going to grow into grapes or without? Namely, you're going to have to pay for the current damage. However, if the animal ate bosar, if they ate already mini grapes, the grapes already began growing, then we view it as though they ate grapes. And you have to take into account the price of grapes, not just the price of the difference in the field. Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Medram Amurim, when do we say they only pay for that which they ate? She'ochel lulave gefanim, v'yichurei te'enim. They ate that which was simply beginning to sprout before you actually had grapes. Hosmadar, if they ate mini grapes, that, you know, where it's for people, maybe a bit bitter, but maybe the animal likes them. Roan osan kilu anavim omdosli batzer, they pay much more. They pay the potential that they caused to be lost. Ema seifa, either we have a seifa to that braisa ochla pagim obosar. Who de roan oso kilu anavim omdosli batzer? Pagim obosar. Hasmadar, roan oso kama hi yafa ve kama hayisa yafa. In other words, that's only if the grapes really begin to grow. But if they're just slowly beginning to grow, you view it as part of the field. Amar Ravina kroch v'tani b'med ruin b'zman shachol lulavei gefanim v'yichurei teinim aval achla smadar pagim u'bosar roan asan kilu omdos libatzer. That we combine everything. The moment the grapes begin, whether they're smadar or pagin or bosar, those are three stages of the development of the grape. Then you view them already as grapes. Ihachi Rashim ben Yehuda Hainer of Yoshua, Ika Beinayu Kachash Gufna. What the Gemara says over here is, just a minute. Don't think as though when grapes grow, this is pure profit. My grapes are growing and growing and growing, and I have no expenses. They're just growing on their own. No, what happens is, as the grape grows, the vine, it serves as a source of nourishment, right? That the nourishment in the ground comes up through the roots and through the vine into the grapes. And the longer the grapes are on the vine, the more that the vine has to work to nourish them, and then the vine slowly gets worn out. Namely, that the vine, which is constantly being used as a source of nourishment, gets worn out. That's called kachash gufna. So the question is, if these animals ate the grapes when they were fully grown, so that loss is already done. But if they eat the grapes when they're very small, there's not going to be that chashgufna. So maybe when we want to measure how much damage was actually done, on one hand we'll say, well, the grape is going to grow into a big grape, so that's the damage that was done. But say just on the other hand, the chashgufna, namely that we have to take into account that sofo, there's going to be a loss. It's not a net gain. There's a net gain and there's a loss, and the two have to be balanced. Do we take into account that which would have happened had the damage not been done? That there would have been anyway a loss to the owner of the grapevine via the chash gufna. That's our eker question. Do we take into account the sofa lavo, that which is about to come? So Gemara continues, Abaye Amar Mesayime Umesayime, that it's clear that we take into account chash gufna. Man tana de chayish chash gufna, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Where do we find this concept of taking into account futures? That's Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. The Tanya, and this is what is important for us, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Manasya, Ones Eino Meshale Mesatzaar, Nesha Sofa Leitztaer Tachas Ba'ala. That's a reason to pater from the Ones from Tzaar, because she's going to feel that Tzaar under all circumstances, even if she gets married. Amrulo, Eino Domen, Nivelas Baratzel, Nivelas Ba'ones. So the Chamam answered, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, it's a different Tzaar. But had it been the same Tzaar, so we see Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says that we take into account futures. So Tosus over here points out, this is a Machlokes Tanoim, do we take into account the future, or don't we take into account the future? So why does our Gemara say Tzaar Demai? We have a Tzaar of Hasharas HaBesulim. If you take into account the future, it's cancelled out. It's going to happen anyway in the future. If you don't take into account the future, you should pay for it. So what is going on over here? So Tosus continues with two terutzim. We'll just see this now and we'll continue next time. V'nira l'ri d'tzar b'ila mishum ta'avas tashmish eino bo b'shas tashmish ela acharkach v'kol tzar ha'chabola d'mechayev haynu oso tzar ha'bola b'shas chabola ma'ashe bolo acharkach miftar groma b'almahu hilkach bo'i tzar d'mai. The Ri says that we're off on a technicality, that when there's a ma'isa via, we have two things happening simultaneously. On one hand, the woman is going through a process where she is experiencing pain. On the other hand, she's experiencing pleasure. So the pleasure and the pain neutralize one another. When does the woman feel only pain? Afterwards. That's called grama. That's, you're not chayavan. And therefore, the pain that came about at the time of the dia, that is neutralized by the ta'avat tashmish, by the hanah. And that's why our Gemara asks Tzar Demai. We can't take into account the classic Tzar of Hasharat HaBesulim, because that's neutralized. Eye this pain afterwards, that's Grama. However, Tosas then gives an answer, which is the answer that Tosas says all over Shas, here and in Baba Kama and Tosas HaRosh. Rashba Mefaresh, the Rashba again is Rav Shimshon ben Avraham, the Rash Mishans. Rashba Mefaresh, the Pshita, the Tzar, Shal Besulim, Lekel HaMeimar, the Al-Korchach, Tana, the Masnisen, Chayesh, Lekash Gufna, the Befate Patur. That clearly our Mishnah is assuming, like the Manda Amar in Baba Kama, that we take into account the future. That we say, Sofa Lehitztaer, that we take into account that which is going to happen in the future. And that's why a Mefata is going to be Patur, because that is going to be the equivalent of what she's going to have in the future. When she gets married, she will be, quote, seduced by her husband. It'll be a pleasurable act. And so if she's being currently seduced, so whatever tsar there is going to happen anyway in the future. There's not going to be any distinction. And so we take into account sofa lavo. So again, that which the Shita Mekubesa says by Sheves and Ripui is what the Rashba concludes by Tsar. And that's why our Gemara looks for a different Tsar. The Tsar of the Bia itself, just like the Ripui and the Sheves, that's going to be afterwards in any case. That we're not taking into account. We're looking at what other Tsar is involved in the situation. what other tsar would be in the world of ones that would go beyond the world of mefates. So that's what the Gemara brings in. Chabot al gabi karka, pisuk raglayim, etc. Okay, this is simply the framework of the sugya. We'll stop over here. We'll continue next time the Gemara up to the two dots with, as I pointed out to you, the Tosfos and the Ritva. The issue that we'll have to deal with is that the Gemara has a hava mina that a woman can be mochelet on the tsar, because the money is really coming to her, and so she can be mochelet. The Gemara then asks, what do you mean the money's coming to her? We're talking about ones mafata of a naira. The money goes to the father. How could she be mochelet? So what was the hava mina? What over here was the hava mina? So we'll see how the Ritva over there understands, and it'll bring us back to what we learned on Amud Aleph in terms of the word Lamed, and we started Kaf Testament Aleph, I'm sorry, in terms of the world of Mechila and the Ramban. So over here on the Sugya. So I'll fill in more Marmakomos, and then we'll continue. Okay? This Seder. Thank you very much.